Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and praise the Lord. God bless you, and thank you so much for being here with your hostess, Vicki Lee, here on the Powers of Heaven Network 9 on the Heaven Network broadcast. And I hope that you are enjoying your rest in the Lord on this Sabbath day. And I tell you what a blessing it is to be here with you once again, and I am honored to be here with you too. Minister the new equinox, the new solar, agricultural calendar, wheel calendar alignment that we've entered into for the Levitical calendar of Adar. And I am really excited to minister this in this new season, which speaks of Sima, which is joy, 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 joy. And I am always excited to come to you with the Brides of Christ Women's Ministries prophetic wheel calendar alignment, because it's the thing that God gave me and helped me understand the times and seasons that He has in His own hands, as well as give me understanding on the Masorah, the constellations that in the planets. Planetary systems that are always in heavy rotation in a universe of Christ. And I'm always excited to come to you from the Southern Heaven Network 9, because what God is doing is always new. Always new. It's the same thing, but it's always a new thing based on His will and His purpose. And I tell you, it's a blessing to be new by way of the blood of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection. So I'm excited to minister this in the newness of life. I'm excited and honored to minister this being an heir of salvation, being saved today, really being saved today, and being born again of the water and the Spirit. And I hope you are saved today. And I tell you, I have a lot to get to, as you can see. And again, if you want to follow along with the alignment that I originally put on my Facebook and my Twitter feed February 9th. You can go there now. So I included a link right here in the description box where you can go there now and read along as I minister the new alignment for the spring season. Hallelujah. Truly, spring is in the air. Spring truly is in the air, although it has not manifested so much in the weather. It's in the air. It's spring, and that's a beautiful thing about understanding faith and the times and seasons that we're in, and we're given that it's in the spirit. And spring always represents something new, birthing, what's budding and blossoming. Hallelujah. And one of the things that I was inspired to do on my Twitter feed, I wanted to just share some things on my Twitter feed, and I added some new additions to my feed that really reflects the spring season. And I have some birds and flowers, all those things that represent the spring, and I just wanted to update my Twitter feed by adding those things, because having visuals are very important, and also being in nature, being around flowers, and going to the botanical gardens and just being around God's creation is very healing, very, very healing. So I'm excited to share that. So if you haven't had a chance, go by my Twitter feed and look at all the wonderful things that the Lord has brought me to put on there. And it's very informative and educational as well. And it talks about different birds and different flowers and all that good stuff. Now, what I want to do quickly is I want to read the foundational scripture that he gave me for the Heavenly Host broadcast, which, again, is my broadcast that I birthed in celebration of the Sabbath day, giving us edification and exhortation and assurance that we have angelic help, heaven's help. Hallelujah. And that speaks of the divine plumb line. Hallelujah. And that's one of the things that I also didn't share with you in the series and the impartition that I shared with you about dreams we imagine. That divine plumb line is very important in us manifesting our dreams. Amen. Or having our dreams we imagine. So divine plumb line, which is the connection between heaven and earth by way of the Holy Spirit, by way of the Holy Eucharist, by way of the blood of Jesus, the water, the blood. Most importantly, having our names written in the Lamb of the Life and being our porter, Heavenly Father being our husbandman, is the thing that will not only keep us, but we're able to see God's will for our life on the path. And so Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 28th through the 30th verse is what he gave me, and this speaks to what Jesus said. Hallelujah. And this scripture is so needed in these times, because with the way the world is and the way time is flying and fleeting, and with the sifter and the waster and the spoiler and the thief that comes to steal and destroy, we have to make sure we stay in a place of safety. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 11, chapter 28 through the 31st, in him extending the invitation to us, to all who believed in him, who were seeking answers and relief. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hallelujah. And I tell you, that ministers so much when you meditate upon that, because when we come to the Lord and we lay our burden before him, and we are laboring and we're burdened, he said, give it to me. And take in exchange, I will give you my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, because in taking up his yoke, which is the anointing, and learning of him in the fellowship of his suffering, learning of him of who he is as our Lord and Savior, he said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. So what we need is for our burdens to be lightened and lifted, and it's going to take the anointing to do that. And clearly Jesus is the answer. He really is. And this scripture is easier said than done, you know, especially when we're used to doing things in a certain way. We have our routine, and that seems to work for us. But I tell you, I'm learning more and more that without the anointing, without God's help, without his instruction, without his grace, we really can do nothing. We can continue to do what we do to get the results that we want. But it really will rob us of what he has for us when we don't take his yoke upon us. It makes things really easier. And one of the things that I'm really excited about and sharing this is the season that is that we're also coming into, which is Lent. And I want to just touch on that quickly because Lent is a season that gives us as the collective in being in our humanity to be in the same place spiritually in observing Lent to release those things that will cause us to stumble and fall. So the thing about Lent is you know, even though in the life of a believer, it's every day, the earth and the universe and celebrates it and observes it for us in our humanity. And that's a beautiful thing because Lent is a time that gives us the opportunity to reconcile some things. A time of penance and repentance and denial, self-denial, a time of repenting of our sins and giving up alms, and that's important. And we can do that any time, but whenever something is observed in the earth realm, especially in the world system, it's a good thing to recognize. And again, whether you're a believer or not, it's something that will help us reflect whose we are. And if you profess God and say you believe in God, this is the time that we're coming into to do that collectively. And one of the things that he was speaking to me about that I've been challenged with, and one of the things that needs to be reconciled or needs to be dealt with is ego. And, you know, we all have ego, but when ego gets in the way of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit and his righteousness, that's a problem. That's a problem. And with the ego comes intellect. And with intellect, oftentimes, there's pride. Pride in what we know, pride in what we do. And that's a good thing, as it speaks to our righteousness. But it's a woe when it speaks to it being offense to other people. And when we operate out of our intellect, which is part of our ego, and it comes from arrogance or haughtiness and highness, high-mindedness, where it's insulting to other people, where you're speaking past people or over people or judging people based on how you see them instead of respecting them for who they are, that's a problem. So, you know, one of the things that I believe in trying to manifest, even in being intelligent, is respecting other people. And that's why the Word of God says that we should have all lowliness and meekness of mind. And when I come to you and I minister to you, it is my desire to come to you in soberness. Because sometimes we can be drunk off our own personality and our own stuff, and ego helps no one. There's no substance in ego. So the goal of Lent, which starts February 26th, and end Thursday, April 9th. This time is the time for us to really get before the Lord and let him deal with our stuff so we can fulfill the commandment of God, which is loving him with all our heart, our mind, and soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. So let me get right into it. We only have about 20 minutes, 30 minutes left to submit to this. And when I finished this on February 19th, I was really, really soaring in the spirit and really excited about things that God was saying about not only the season of Lent, but this season being the Feast of Purim. And the spring equinox really speaks of what God is, what begins a new opening of the books, or what he's scribing, and what the recording angels are recording in heaven based on what we do. And many people need to understand the purpose of of the universe and how important it is in the universe, because the universe supports the laws of God. And in the spirit, we talk about spirit and in the earth realm and the universe, that translates to energy. The agricultural calendar given to the children of Israel, given to us, speaks of sowing and reaping. The universe speaks of karma. And I'm a big believer in karma. And people create their own karma by what they sow, which they will also reap. So in speaking about the universe, we can't speak about the universe as if it's our friend and our buddy, and we're doing contrary. We can't do that. When we speak of the universe, we must honor the universe because it's created by God. Amen. And again, when I speak about the Mezerah and the constellations, I speak of it regarding of the constellations, which are the signs based on the 12 constellations, which was birthed from the 12 tribes of Israel. And so this is not speaking of the constellations and astrology in the fleshly sense, in the soulish sense. I'm speaking, and when I speak of the Mezerah and the constellations, I'm speaking of it from the place of why it was created in birth. Amen. Which will give us timelines of what's happening based on what the planets and the solars are positioned. That's really important. But the whole purpose of anything spiritual in biblical is for us to get in line with God, bottom line, to be right in mind, body, soul, and spirit with God and be in holy union with him, communion with him, and with ourselves and with each other. Bottom line. Hallelujah. So I just hope you are in by standing with the Lord and with yourself. That starts within your heart and your consciousness. This alignment, again, speaks to that in an awesome way in what it means for this time, this season, which is Adar. And this time, Adar means to make wide, to make great, honorable, exceeding, glorious, which is given to us by the number 12, which speaks of God's government. It speaks of Adar speaks of becoming great, glorious, and magnificent. This season is celebrated by the Feast of Purim, which is part of our prophetic history of what God did and how he moved for the Jews, moved to save his people from that which was against them, plotted and planned against them. And again, that's something that is still happening today because of the enemy of our soul, the devil being a roaring lion that we may devour, being a fallen angel, was kicked out of heaven because of pride. And today, how we have enemies, I have enemies, you have enemies, seen and unseen, that hate us because of our righteousness, hate us because and despise us because of who we are and because of who we are, which is which is not an issue because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, the Feast of Purim is just one of the things that I always want to include when I come to you this time of year and speak about the Feast of Purim, because, again, it speaks of this, of joy. Despite what the enemy was plotting and planning against the Jews, God choosing Esther and her having support from her cousin Mordecai, her prayers before God, and God uncovering the plot and the plans of the enemy, and her being believed by the king who loved her and married her and believed her, really saved the people. So the Feast of Esther and the Book of Esther is really a good book because it speaks of what the hand of God, the invisible hand of God. And as a result of the plot of Haman being discovered and how, glory be to God, how it was revealed, a nation was saved. So it's not just about exposing things and exposing people. It's how God revealed those things to you. It's how you deal with the information. It's how you deliver the information. It's how it's being brought forth that that the plot was spoiled. And that's why the Word of God tells us to be, and Jesus said, for us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Because truly, truly, I know things that have been plotted against my life, and had not God showed it to me and showed me how to deal with it, I would have gotten victory in those situations. So when things are unbeknownst to you, God will reveal it. He really will. And it's just woe unto those who do this, because, again, when you have an enemy, a lot of times those enemies have nothing to do with you. It's a reflection of how they see themselves. And whatever the motivation is, whether it be selfish, personal, lustful, political, if it's evil and it's not motivated by love and it's not based on God's purpose and plan and him wanting to use you for his glory, it's going to come to naught. It's going to come to naught. So I just want to touch on that because in this alignment, this season, we remember our prophetic history and what God did. And this season speaks of laughter, great laughter, and how God will make us laugh. Amen. And how God will laugh at our enemies. And not just laugh at the demise of our enemies, which, you know, it's never a good thing. Because the Lord says we're supposed to pray for enemies, but in the reign of Christ, that's exactly what God is going to do. And in these last days, there's such a wickedness and an evil that is coming from the heart of man and people. It's ridiculous. It's a vile evil, such a despicable evil where it's murderous, and that's sad. And what God said, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. So, you know, the danger of having evil in your heart or jealous and malice and unforgiveness is that it will cause you to kill your brother or sister, especially if it's out of jealousy. And that was the thing that caused Haman to want to kill and destroy Mordecai. It's because of someone not bowing down, someone wanting something that they shouldn't have, which is attention, you know, feeling they're deserving of attention they shouldn't have, or stretching themselves beyond who they really are. And when you deal with that type of manifestation, it's something you have to pray about, because again, pride is the reason why a lot of people are motivated to do things, which is part of the flesh. Now, what I'm going to do is go quickly to what Lent and how Lent and Purim are really tied together, because this is called the return, the Shavah, between his return to the Father. And that's what Lent is all about. Lent is about returning to God, being reconciled to God. And this agricultural calendar, as well as cycle, not only commemorates the Book of Esther and the Feast of Purim, which stands for good fortune, but this is a cycle that ends this cycle, and upon the conclusion of Lent, we will be entering into April, which will be a whole new agricultural calendar starting with April. So it's really like a new year. So this is a time to really take advantage of the time, the holy time that God has given us, going to his calendar that we have here in the earth realm, and make time to seek the Lord and pray and fast according to our new covenant. Hallelujah. Now, I kind of spoke and shared some things about the customs and the traditions of the of what it means to celebrate our victory, which speaks of authority and power that God has given us, which is given to us by the Holy Spirit, which is all power, given to us by the Holy Ghost, deposited in us, in our spirit, in our spiritual womb, that give us power to tread upon those spiritual things. Amen. And so for that, I gave you 1 Corinthians, Romans, the 16th chapter, and Malachi. Hallelujah. And Psalms 91. Psalms 91. Because in this time of celebration, of recognizing that we've gone from death unto life, we can celebrate that in the face of Jesus. Amen. And according to his death, burial, resurrection. And the thing that is important to remember is that he is our great high priest. And him being our great high priest, he compassed about him in the heavens ever to make intercession for us. So, again, when we come boldly to him, as the word of God says, come boldly to the throne, do anything, help us by help in time of need. Those things that we have need of him, he will give us in his freely. Now, again, God has declared the end, the beginning at the end. And this is the blessing of this constellation, which is represented of fish, which is in the constellation of Pisces. And not only does it speak to the deep things of God, but it speaks to that which is which connects us, because in the symbolics of Pisces, we see that the two fish are going into different directions, but they are bound by one cord, and that is representative of the New and the Old Testament. Amen. And I love that when I began to put it together, I began to thank God for that, because the old is fulfilled in the new. Because Jesus said, again, I didn't come away to do away with the law. I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Hallelujah. So when we look at the constellation of Pisces, we see not only the fish going and swimming in separate directions, that is also a woe to us for those who are going against the grain or going according to the grain. Because any constellation, in all the constellations, it's always meant for us to manifest the good of our sign given to us in the constellation every time we're born. And oftentimes people look at the constellations and they read it according to their astrology, and they're reading it according to their flesh. They're reading it according to their wishful thinking, that's not how that works. Our earth sign, quote unquote, is to reflect the nature of God in which he gave to us in that time, which is, again, based on the personality of the 12 tribes of Judah. So I just want to say that. Now, another thing that I really, really was excited about and getting in line with this was also what fish represents. Jesus, when he came to earth and he made disciples of men and selected his first 12 disciples, he made them fishers of men. And that's what we are now. We are called to be fishers of men. And he took them from their professions and said, I'll make you fishers of men. So that was another thing that I was really blessed by in putting this alignment together, as well as remembering that it was the fish where Jesus put the money, where the money was, where Peter needed to pay his taxes. And when Peter was wondering how he was going to pay his taxes, Jesus revealed to him that the money was in the fish's mouth, and that's where he was supposed to go in and to receive it. So fish are very important in the Word of God, and Jesus used fish a lot. He fed the multitude on two fishes. So, again, God can multiply what we have when we give it to him. Amen? Now, I included one of the things that is important to remember in the Feast of Purim and this time that we're in, and understanding that this is a time that we need to focus on going deeper. Also, shedding any inhibitions that we have that are not of God, anything that is causing us to mask who we are or God's will. And again, that's one of the things that is noted in Queen Esther's story. When she had a feast, they wore masks. And the thing about going face to face into the glory of glory is that it reveals who we are, and it's to reveal who Christ is in us. Amen. So one of the good things about being born again of the water and spirit is that we grow in grace. Amen. And God will reveal a greater depth of who we are as we submit to him. And the story Esther brings that to life. It shows how the mask of Haman was exposed, the plot of Haman was exposed. This is a time for us to, again, allow him to shed those things, remove those things that will keep us from reflecting his glory. Hallelujah. Or keep us from letting who we are to be come forth. Now, the thing that I found really interesting in this alignment was the tribe that celebrated. And, I had to burp. It was Jacob's son, Naphtali, whose name means to lose. He was one who gave goodly words, and he was the sent one. Hallelujah, he was the sent one. And he is represented by the deer who gives and expresses arrogant words. And one of the things I was praising God for in giving me this is him reminding me of preaching of the gospel, the good news. Amen. And how important it is for us to make sure that our words are always building someone, not tearing them down. Even in rebuke, you know, if we're speaking the truth in love, it will cut away that which is needed. In Naphtali, being the tribe that celebrated, which speaks of to give rise to laughter. Amen. So that's the thing that I do and every believer do, or we should do when we hear the word of God. We should rejoice when we hear the word of God. Even if it's it cuts, even if it's bitter, you know, when you hear the truth, you hear and you can rejoice at it because it's going to what? Set you free. Hallelujah. So I really love his name and what it means, because when you hear good news, it brings joy, it brings laughter. And that's what Jesus' teachings were meant to do. And then it was, when he came and he teached and he preached, they rejoiced to hear the word. When the apostles preached and teach, they, people who heard it, their soul rejoiced because they heard it from their heart. And that's why the word of God says, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. And one thing about how God chose to save us is found in 1 Corinthians, and that's why I wanted to put that on there, 1 Corinthians, because Paul says, who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? He says, had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hallelujah. So in he said, all that didn't get an understanding, but, you know, that goes back to what I was saying at the top of the broadcast, that many people cannot get saved because of their worldly wisdom, because of their ego, because of their intellect. And it's unfortunate when you have those who have made themselves wise or became wise in their own consent. Or he said, where is the scribe? One who is about the letter of the law, or is always about writing stuff and accusing the brethren. He said, where's the fruit of this world? Those things don't matter when it comes to God, because he said, I chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And that's why it's so important not to be wise in their own eyes. And again, it goes back to the Genesis, the beginning of the original sin of Eve eating from the apple, doing that which God clearly said she was not to do, and then in turn her seducing Adam and caused him to eat, which was eat of that which he said we're not to eat. They were not to eat of, which made them wise in their own sight, in their own eyes, and opened their eyes to things that they should have never known. So not only is it important for you to understand the simplicity of God and the purity of God, it's important to obey, because the word of God says not the hearers are just before God, but the doers are just before God. Hallelujah. And so I tell you, it's by the foolishness of preaching, God chose to save those that believe. And that's how it goes with anything that God does. And it's not according to the world standard. It's not according to man's intellect. God always does the opposite. You know, he said he does least is the greatest. Not the greatest is the greatest, but the least is the greatest. And so it's really important that if you really are a true believer, that you understand that we are not to and should not walk according to the course of this world. Amen. And that when we truly are walking in not only humility, but in healing, true healing, our words will be seasoned with salt. And I can tell you that's easier said than done, because God, Lord knows I'm guilty and have been guilty of saying things out of my anger. I've had to learn to allow him to give me that temperance, and I've had to learn to not respond and be hasty and operate out of my feelings and emotions and even my ego. Amen? So I included Proverbs the 15th chapter, first and third verse, that speaks and says that a soft answer turn away wrath, but grievous words stored up strife. Amen? stir strife up in anger. And you know, the Word of God says we're to speak peacefully to our neighbor. Amen. He says the tongue of the wise uses knowledge all right. Amen. So if we have knowledge and our tongue is wise and we're operating out of wisdom, it's going to be all right. Amen. We use knowledge in the right way. He said, but the mouth of fools poured out foolishness. Amen. So in this new season, as we prepare to birth things in that's new, we see God doing a new thing, and it's flourishing, and it's bursting, and it's bubbling, and it's budding. We make sure we have to protect our ear gates and our mouth, and make sure we're not listening to things that are foolish. And doing that in the fear of the Lord. Because in verse 3 he says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Amen. And that speaks to the seven spirits of God. Amen. That's before his throne. Glory be to God. So I'm excited to have ministered to you. And I'm excited that God is doing a new thing in his new season. This is a new era, a new century. And we can start afresh and anew. Amen. Karma exists, but it doesn't exist in my realms, in my world that I create because of repentance and confession. Amen. So you can stop karma by spiritual law, the holy laws of God. Amen. And not just confessing them, but repenting and forsaking and turning from those things and even making amends. Amen. Making amends by going to your neighbor, saying, I'm sorry. Amen. Going to God first, saying, I'm sorry. Amen. So we want to make sure that we're not being backwards and put in reverse and that the universe is working against us. We want everything to flow. Hallelujah. I believe in flowing. And I tell you, that's the good thing about practice, is that when you practice righteousness, it will follow you. Amen. He says, seek peace and pursue it. Follow peace without man, with all men, without holiness, no man to see the Lord. So I tell you, I'm excited about this new season and what he's saying he's doing. And I am I'm working on contemplating on doing March offering. I'm thinking, Lord, about whether he wants me to go in a different direction as it relates to Bride of Christ Women's Ministry. So if I decide to do March offerings, it'll be posted on my website. If not, I'll just come and share as he leads me, as I'm inspired. But I just want to say thank you so much for being here with me on Stars of Heaven Network 9 on the Heaven Host broadcast on the Lord Our Sabbath. And I truly hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon, your evening. And I'm going to see if I'm going to come on tomorrow on Miss Marie's Bar Supper and Brunch. Like I said, God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing in my life. And things are not the same. When God truly elevates you and puts you in a new place, things become new, and we have to flow with that. Amen. So I'm really before the Lord and asking him how he wants me to move forward, even in ministry and how to minister and what he wants me to share. Because one thing I believe is keeping the anointing fresh and on fire. Hallelujah. Nothing about me is traditional in a lot of aspects, and I just love doing things in a new, exciting way. And I love when God shows me how to do things in a new, exciting way, which comes by faith. Amen. So I love you. Peace, blessings, and truly much love. And with that, I bid you peace, blessings, and much love. And I will speak with you soon. Take care.